This is the Wonder Life Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter. Each week, I interview game changers, thought leaders, and functional health and wellness experts to inspire us to light up our lives so we can go out and light up this world. You may follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U.
Today on the podcast, Andrea interviews Ann Jensen, the founder of Sproutin' Up. Sproutin' Up is a great nonprofit here in Fort Collins, Colorado, that works to improve the lives of children and teens living in under-resourced neighborhoods. They address food insecurities and also job skills. If you want to get involved with Sproutin' Up, you can attend the Dirty Boot Cocktail Fundraiser happening Friday, April 12th from 6 to 9 at the Botanique in Fort Collins, Colorado.
When talking and thinking about food insecurity, what does that even mean, Anne?
So food insecurity to me means that you might not know where your next meal is coming from. I mean, at a very basic level. Now, the USDA has what they call food desert maps. And so they have mapped out locations, neighborhoods, communities where people have barriers to accessing fresh food or accessing food in general. So that might be that they live a certain distance from a grocery store, or that might be that they don't have sidewalks to walk to the grocery store, or there's not safe crossings, those kinds of things. So there is a standard for what a food desert is, but at the base, it means that you don't know where your next meal is coming from. And so, for a family, obviously that can be a real stressor and, you know, add all other layers of issues to a family, who's trying to figure out how they're going to eat and how they're going to feed their kids.
Yeah. I can only imagine what a stress that puts on a family. How does that trickle into like every aspect of their lives?
Well, we know that, people who are food insecure, when you're food insecure, you're looking for anything to fill your belly. Sometimes that might lead to low nutrient food because you're looking for something just to fill your cupboards and feel better. And so, obviously, if they're eating food that is low in nutrients, it can lead to all kinds of issues, from, you know, type 2 diabetes to issues with their cardiovascular system, all kinds of things. So obviously being food insecure, you know, there's the sort of emotional level as a parent, I would imagine, of not feeling like you might not be able to feed your children. But then there's the health aspect of, junk food and food that is not nutrient rich is cheaper. A lot of times we don't really want to admit that. I've seen so many people who want to talk about, it's just as inexpensive to eat healthy. And sure, it can be, but it takes a lot of knowledge on growing the food. It takes knowledge on preparing the food. It's not that it can't be inexpensive, but there are some other layers to that. And so when we're talking about families that might not have the skill set or the desire to do that, they're going to grab the next thing that's going to have a long shelf life because that's important too.
Yeah. So how did you come to the realization that you needed to make a difference for these kids and help them to be in a different place?
So it's been sort of an evolution since the beginning of our program. And when I started Sproutin' Up, I was working for the health system. And my job was to go into low-income neighborhoods, typically neighborhoods where kids would be getting off the bus without maybe a parent at home, and meet them. I would actually stand outside the bus like I was their parent and meet the kids. I would teach them nutrition lesson. I would play active games with them and feed them healthy food. And then we would play together for about an hour, hour and a half, and then the program would end. And the whole idea was to do something positive for them in that in-between time between school and when their parents might get home from work. And so I had been doing that for about 6 years when I realized that I was standing in front of the kids talking at them about eating healthy food. Like, you know, your parents should buy 100% fruit preserves instead of jelly because of the sugar content. And their eyes were like glossing over, and they were looking at me like, seriously, lady, like if I get jelly, I'm one happy camper, you know, like if I can get my mom to just buy jelly, we're all good.
Right.
And so, I decided, honestly, when I started Sprouting Up, it was sort of this experiment. I wanted to see what would happen. Would they eat fruits and vegetables if there were no barriers? They didn't have to drive to get them. They didn't have to pay. And I could provide some information so that they were easy for them to consume. And I remember one day during our program, I brought blueberries for a snack that day. And I must not have brought blueberries very much, or I hadn't brought them recently. And I remember looking at this kid who filled a plate, like a dinner-sized paper plate piled with blueberries, and just devoured them. And that was a moment for me when I was like, oh my goodness, like if they have access to these, they're more than happy to eat them.
Yeah.
So how do we make that happen so that they have the advantage of eating nutrient dense food and all the things that go with that?
So it really all started around food and giving access to kids and families, which, you know, then trickles over. So giving people access to healthy, rich, nutrient rich food.
It did. And I think a lot about, like, because Sprouting Up has grown a lot over the last 10 years, I've spent a lot of time thinking about, like, what is the basis for what we do? Like, you know, and it is food. That's where we started. But it really is about relationships and leveling the playing field in our relationships around food. And one of the things that's really important to me is that when we do a produce stand, you know, it is free, but it's empowering. So we have kids telling other kids and telling families what's on the table so that, you know, we're not coming into a neighborhood and saying, like, here, we grew this, you should eat this. But we've developed relationships with families. And so it's an exchange. It's sort of this like free market exchange where we bring the food and families will show up with shopping bags, like extra shopping bags for other people to use. Or sometimes they'll bring recipes. And so they'll take some food, but in exchange, they'll leave us a family recipe that we're able to share with the rest of our families. So it is this, you know, sort of like bringing everybody up to the same level. Yeah. And it is all around food, and that's where it started. But I really think this relationship piece is sort of the basis of everything we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and the reality is that you don't just take food into some of these neighborhoods, at least initially, you know, or in the middle of all this, you know, people in the neighborhood, actually the kids in the neighborhood actually started growing food in the neighborhood for their community. Right.
Right. So the kids grow the food and they spend time learning about its health benefits and learning how to prepare it. So that when they're doing a market, they can say to their friends, their neighbors, their family, oh my goodness, you should try these purple carrots because they're so delicious. And here's what you could do with them. Or don't be afraid of eating this kale. Here's how you can use it. And so it's not, you know, it's really important to me to take away the us and them in all of our relationships. And so especially in neighborhoods where, you know, an organization like ours is coming in and to and providing a much needed service and a benefit to the families, I really want to always keep in mind, how can I empower the kids in this situation? How can I empower the families in this situation? And one of the things that does that the most is probably that many of the adults in the neighborhoods speak only Spanish. I speak only English. Well, the kids are this beautiful bridge between us. And they're the ones that make all of this happen. If I didn't have them as interpreters to explain things, this could never happen.
That is beautiful. I mean, it really is beautiful. It's so much deeper than food, and food, you know, being something we all have in common because we all have to eat to sustain life. What it's really doing is bridging gaps, and as you said, leveling the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
So when did Sproutin' Up begin to take it to the next level and really start to dig deeper with the kids and go and cultivate the first job skills programs that you put them through?
So this is our 10th season overall. And for the first few years, we did our free produce markets. And those were awesome. They were great. But what we noticed is that a lot of kids were coming to our markets. And they weren't just coming. They were asking a lot of questions like, where did you get this? And then if I would say I grew it, that was like magic to them. What are you talking about? You grew it? Like where? How does that happen? And so it was at that point that I said, we need a program that teaches them that. Like we can't just show up with this squash and say, this is squash and I grew it. Like they need to know where that came from and they need to grow it. And that could be a really great skill for them. So we added a program for kids who are 10 to 13. And that program happens in smaller sort of just demonstration gardens is what I would call them, or educational gardens, not really a big farm. A small garden that's in their neighborhood. And we teach them nutrition education and we teach them how to grow the produce and they help with those markets. Well, then 3 years ago, it'll be 4 years ago now, I guess, I had a couple kids who were aging out of our program. So they were in that 13, 14 range. And they came to me and said, we're too old for this now, but we really don't want to leave. And I was like, okay, well, that's a great problem to have because you're great kids and I don't want you to leave either. But what can we do? And so realizing it was sort of this, it was just like this perfect timing for me because at the same time, my own son was the same age and he was helping me out on my farm. And he was driving me crazy. He was a horrible employee. And I can say that because he's my own son and I love him. But he would take, you know, half an hour bathroom breaks, or he would disappear for a while, or he'd have his phone out when he was supposed to be working. And I was watching this and I was knowing that I had these other kids that were sort of the same age. And it was just this, I had this moment of clarity when I realized that if my own son doesn't know how to be an employee, how many other kids this age don't know how to be an employee?
Yeah.
And that's sort of the next level for them. I mean, they want to go out and get their first job, but if they don't have the skill set to do that, we're really dropping the ball as a community. And so we started our internship program. And so that's for kids 14 to 16. And those kids get basically a summer job with us. They run our farm, but they get so much more than that. So they learn how to write their resume. They learn how to do interviews. We go on field trips to local businesses. And that sounds, it's so funny because when I say that, people are like, oh, that's cute. But you know, I think that there's so much deeper than that because these are kids who live in neighborhoods that are self-contained. They don't often leave their neighborhood. They are 2 miles maybe from Colorado State University, but they've never been there. They think that would be like an amazing thing to just go there and visit. So it's a completely different mentality. they would not feel comfortable going into a business and applying for a job. And so when we go on a field trip, I introduce them to the business owner. We do a tour with the business owner or the manager. They tell us about their business. They tell us what they're looking for when they hire, you know, kids who are getting their first jobs. And that connection for them is so important because they can see themselves in a job that way, in a place like this. This is a place for them.
Possibility. So
right. They
see possibilities where they might not have before. And so if we go back, and back to like not putting people in boxes, but this is like just an interesting thing to think through with you. You know, it's like when we're dealing with basic survival, so I'm just trying to eat. I'm just trying to feed my family. That does something to us, like on the psychological level. It probably changes our brains and it changes like what we think is possible. And so looking at that, how have you seen, I mean, you've been doing this for 10 years and you've seen some kids go through it. How have you seen some of these kids have shifts in that possibility mindset from, you know, when they may have first started to, you know, graduating through your program?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, our teens run our CSA market, which means that they're standing behind a farmer's market table, talking to customers on a weekly basis. That you can see a change from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, just in one season, because they start out really insecure, unsure. And by the end of the season, they are so proud of what they've grown. They can't wait to tell customers about it. And so that customer interaction, which is a social skill that is so important in your first job, being able to talk to adults as a teenager is a huge thing. So that I see just in one season. But I've also seen over time with some of our kids who've been with us for a while. I mean, we have two kids who've been with us for like 6 or 7 years. Which I know is longer than the age span because I've made up jobs for them. They're past 16. but with those kids, I've seen the evolution of, I can fit into this community that I didn't know was for me happen. So I had a call from one of them in the fall saying, I really want to apply for a job. And, I don't know how, you know, I mean, he's gone through our program, but he missed last summer. He, ended up managing the garden in their own neighborhood. So he missed some of the job skill training piece. And so I went and picked him up and took him, to the family center here in town, 'cause we could use their computers and fill out a job application. And, just watching that confidence of him asking, you know, using his resources, asking for help. He would have never done that before. And so he was able to sit down and fill out a job application, you know, continue sort of that path of speaking up for himself. And, you know, this also might sound a little crazy, a little funny, but the other thing that I've noticed is how much more professional their texts are to me. And I know that sounds crazy, but we talk a lot about that. Like, you know, I consider myself their mentor and their friend, but I also in the summer am their employer. And so, you know, you wouldn't text your employer at midnight to say, hey, do we have work tomorrow? But they don't really know all those boundaries. And so I watched that develop over time too. And just the way they communicate with me. And, that's actually been a really neat thing to see, because I know that when I see them leave from our program and go out into our community, they're ready. And that is huge. That is like, that makes me so happy to know that they're ready. They're ready to make a difference.
That, so, you know, you and I've talked a little bit about, the kids in your program and, you know, where they come from. And, you know, some of them do come from low income and some of them don't. And I think, and as you and I've talked about, that's by design. Mm-hmm. What have you seen with the interaction with the kids, you know, who may not have otherwise ever met before? How do you think that this has shifted the way that they believe about other people, number one, and just about, you know, where you think that this sets them apart from the rest of the world who might put themselves into little silos just with people who are like them?
I have so many stories I could share. I'm going to share two because I think they're really important. And you're right. We have kids from varying backgrounds, and that is by design, because I've been doing programs in this one neighborhood, this one low-income neighborhood in Fort Collins for about 15 years. And what I've noticed over time is that there are so many generous and wonderful organizations that do programs in neighborhoods like this, but we all do them in a silo. So everybody who comes to the program looks like me, has basically the same life experiences as me. And it doesn't really provide this vision for what else is out there and what else I could be. And this was came to light for me twice. I mean, that was really important for me to see. One of the times was that I had two kids with me from this neighborhood, and we went to where my farm was, and we were kind of checking out the chicken coop, and they said, "Hey, what's that building over there, you know, across the field?" I said, "Oh, that's the jail." And they looked at each other and they said, "Oh, that's where we're going to be when we grow up."
That is astonishing.
And I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, yeah, they named every male figure in their life that was either in jail, had been in jail, or was going to jail." And I said, no. "You guys turn around and look at me." I said, that's not how this has to be. I said, "You can learn some skills and, you know, get jobs and do other things. And that doesn't have to be your future." That's, you know, and they kind of giggled, but we walked away, and I thought, that's why we're doing this. Because if you can see something that's different than going to jail, if everybody, every male in your life grows up and goes to jail, well, that sure seems like that's probably your life path. And then the other one I want to share real quick is that the greenhouse for our farm is in my backyard, and we're growing microgreens in it to sell to some restaurants. So I brought some kids with me to pick up the microgreens, and I drove in the driveway and I hit the garage door button like you would. The garage door went up and they gasped. And I said, "What? Did you see that? That door just opened by itself." And I almost started crying. One, it was this huge separation for us, between us, which doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
That I was really just right in my face, that I had never thought about. They don't live in homes with garages even, let alone a garage door opener. But later I thought about it and I thought, you know, it's good for them to see that. Because if you want a garage door that opens by itself when you are an adult, you can have that too. Yeah. And that's what I said to them. This is for you too. So that's why I want kids in the program from a lot of different backgrounds. And by the end of the summer, those kids are the best of friends. And they might even go to the same high school and they've never talked to each other. But out on our farm, they are best friends. And that is, by the end of the summer, they were exchanging phone numbers. And I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
So that to me, I mean, it really, that is how we break down walls and barriers in our world, is like, get outside of your box, be with people that may not be like you. Cause it's really easy for you and I to get along because we believe the same way and voted for the same guy and, or not, or, you know, whatever the story is. And it's really easy for us to like each other and get along.
Right.
But it's the people who didn't vote the way we did, or who might, you know, say things we don't like, that it's like, we still need to like find a way with them too. We might not, you know, be best friends, but like, it's, I think it's super powerful just for like what is happening in our world. And you're setting these kids up to just be on a different level?
Well, you know, this summer we had one girl that was a vegetarian, and she did not come from a low-income background. And the other kids could not, like, you're a what? Like, I don't even understand what that is, you know, to them. And it was neat too, because she had a chance to just educate them about why she does what she does. And they were just completely accepting of that. And I think it goes back, for me, it does go back to relationships. That our program really is about relationships. It's the nutrition, it's the food, it's the access, but it's the relationships, and it's the ability to exchange goods in a relationship that have no monetary value.
Yeah.
So I can share my knowledge with you, and you can share your skills with me, and I can share my joy with you, and you can share your understanding with me. And we're all getting something out of this, but we're all sharing something too.
That is deep, Anne. That is deep. I love it. I mean, it's so powerful. It is truly amazing. And you know, what's so great is that, you know, for these kids to go through the process of growing the food to, you know, to tilling the soil before they can even plant the food, and going through that process and getting these skills, it is amazing. And you are changing what's happening on this planet. And even if it's in a smaller community, that trickles out to the rest of the world. And then where those kids are going to go and what those kids are going to do, even with your own child that went through the program and you know, he was your employee, so you had to have that boundary. I mean, his whole life has changed. I've seen that with my eyes, just like who he's become. And so that is truly a powerful testament. And I will continue to tell you that this thing needs to go national, because amazing. It really is amazing. It's addressing so many different aspects of their lives and our society. Because, you know, you're giving them skills so that they are good citizens on the planet and taking care of themselves and their families and the world. So, amen to you.
I hope so. I hope it's, you know, I that's what I hope for it. And that's what I hope for them. Wow. I always joke that as they get older and they don't want to leave the program, that I'm going to have to figure out how to, like, send them to college or send them to training, or, you know, like, they're just going to be with me forever.
Well, I feel like you will come up with that at some point. So if people want to get involved with Sprouting Up, and it is Sprouting Up, there's no sprouting up, how to find you, what's your website?
Yeah. So sproutingup.com is where they can find more information. And if you click on Find Your Place on our website, you can find out about volunteer opportunities. And we really want to grow our volunteer community. And it's everything from digging in, you know, if you don't like kids, you don't want to work with kids, you can come at a time when you're digging in the dirt and working with the plants. That's great too. There's work with kids, there's helping with events. I mean, it's just, there's, you know, everything that you can imagine.
And the Dirty Boot is coming up. Speaking of events,
yes,
an event coming up out of Botanique. Is it where is it?
It is at the Botanique.
At the Botanique, which is an amazing movement. And you've got your farm out there, which is so cool and so synergistic. You're getting bees, or you have bees?
Yes. Yeah, so we're getting bees. In fact, I'm picking the kids up next week so they can help me set up the beehives.
Which, that is amazing.
Just
another podcast on what bees.
Yep.
We'll bring you back at the end of the summer and talk about what happened and all that good stuff. So you're doing the Dirty Boot, and that is April the 12th.
April the 12th at the Botanique from 6 to 9, and tickets are only $30. We have the Sears coming, the band, the Sears. We have drinks, we have food, It's going to be a great time.
It'll be a great time. So make sure you get your tickets for that. Go to sproutinup.com. And you can find tickets on there. You can follow Sproutin' Up on Instagram and Facebook, and join the movement, because this is legit. And this is about our children feeling like they are powerful and impactful humans. And that is so important. And if they can even text you in, you know, non-slang text, like, that's a huge win.
I know, it's funny that that's my measure, but sometimes that's just it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with me. And I, you know, always just love talking to you about the amazing work you're doing. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrea. I appreciate you.